Hello, welcome to the Conflict Authority Podcast. This is a podcast about conflict, what it is, how it gets started, and the things that you can do to evolve greater control over the conflicts in your life. My name is Leo. I am your host. This is Episode 7, Conflict Assessment. Conflict assessment is a process of finding out who is affected by a conflict and how it is affecting them. It includes figuring out who is involved, as well as their interests, agendas, and positions. A proper conflict assessment usually takes place within a multi-party conflict. That is, a conflict with numerous, more than two, participants, each having incompatible goals. Let's get started. One of the basic requirements of a conflict assessment is a reason why. A technical conflict assessment is usually done at the request of a government or a non-governmental agency. This is called a mandate. The mandate provides preliminary information that will help you get the conflict assessment started. What is important is that the mandate is clear. That is, you know what you are expected to accomplish. The mandate should detail the goals and agenda of the assessment, a listing of stakeholder representatives, and a detailing of the phases and timeframes for the assessment. Once you have a mandate, you can start gathering information. Information gathering is the process of collecting the facts on the players, their interests and intentions, and the impediments to conflict resolution. Any artifacts or materials important to the conflict can be gathered as well. Then you analyze everything you have gathered to turn it into something useful. This can include mapping of the parties to the conflict, zeroing in on important issues, or pointing out some interesting facts that have previously been overlooked. This initial analysis is the basis for the conflict assessment report. The main purpose of a conflict assessment is to provide a shared body of knowledge to the parties to the conflict. This is going to come in the form of a report or presentation, but it is meant to provide some utility to its end users. The conflict assessment will be useful in explaining what can be done or cannot be done in a given conflict. The players. Identifying the players is usually the first order of business when you're trying to assess a conflict. Knowing who is involved will always go a long way toward explaining what the conflict is about. Sometimes assessment is a simple, and possibly dangerous, process of identifying highly visible combatants. Sometimes the players are more difficult to discern, those using proxies or hired guns. Basically, you ask the adversaries who they are and why they are fighting. Hopefully, at some point, you will gather enough information to map out the combatants and what they are fighting for. The big players in any conflict are called the primary stakeholders. They will obviously have much to lose or much to gain from the conflict. The secondary stakeholders are people with no direct interest in the conflict. They are typically involved in the conflict because their proximity drew them into it, and though they have no desire to involve themselves, they are directly affected by the conflict. A third set of stakeholders are called tertiary stakeholders. They may not be directly affected by the conflict, and they may seem to lack any interest in the conflict at all. This group, however, typically suffers the unintended consequences of the conflict. Interest and positions. Interest, simply put, represent the resources and relationships that are threatened by a conflict. Anything that you stand to lose directly, indirectly, or peripherally. Positions are what the participants in a conflict think they are fighting for. Sometimes a conflicting party understands their interest, and their positions are in line with those interests. Quite often, however, this is not the case. Here is a story my professors in grad school used to illustrate the difference between interest and position. Two people go to a store to buy an orange. Their positions are that they each want an orange. the store only has one orange. Because each person holds a position that they must have an orange, they start fighting over it. Alternately, they can discuss, collaborate, problem solve, and each can explain what they want the orange for. Turns out that person one wants a little orange juice, while person two wants some orange rind to do some baking with. These are their interests. It turns out that one orange can satisfy both of their interests. The example is a little silly. It assumes that people will fight over an orange rather than just going to another store. It also assumes that each of their needs will be met with a single orange. The point of it, though, is that if they decide to discuss and share, then there is no need for conflict. The big problem is that people, the players in a conflict, do not always understand their interest. They are usually quite adamant about their positions, or more simply, what they want. People do not like to lose power, prestige, or resources. When faced with conflict, the typical first response is to focus on what could be lost. This leads to strong emotions. We know what happens when disagreement meets strong emotions. Impediments. Impediments are the things that keep people from communicating. Without communication, there will not be any negotiations to end a conflict. Part of the assessment is figuring out what is keeping people from coming to the negotiation table. That is, what is keeping them from communicating. We already know that effective conflict is a disagreement wherein the parties involved get emotional with each other. Effective conflict leads to several different impediments. Animosity, historical grievance, and mistrust are all impediments that are rooted in effective conflict. Not all impediments are based on emotion. Structural violence can play a role in impeding conflict resolution. Structural violence refers to the systemic tools of a society meant to enforce existing power relationships. Basically, it means a system designed to keep people in their proper places. Another way of looking at structural violence is to describe it as the imbalances, inequities, and inequalities that allow one set of people to hold power over another set of people. Why is this important? A conflict assessment tells you, for the most part, who is in conflict and why they are in conflict. It is useful for getting conflicting parties to the table and for giving them a common base of knowledge to work from. And, while conducting an assessment, you may find some surprising information that will be helpful in resolving the conflict. It is the documenting of these surprises and dangers that provide the utility of the conflict assessment. A conflict assessment is useful in helping you to make the determination of whether to involve yourself on a smaller scale or on a larger scale, your organization, in any attempt to help resolve a conflict. This is an important question. On the organizational level, aid workers are often kidnapped, tortured, and murdered for their efforts. The reason this happens is because people, through their peace-building efforts, can often upset the political, social, and economic status quo through their work. The threshold for risk is something that each individual and every organization must decide for themselves. To intervene in conflict, you necessarily place yourself in danger. Assessing a conflict beforehand allows you to determine what, if anything, can be done and where to place people and resources most effectively. There is not always the right time to get involved in a conflict. Most certainly, there are bad times to get involved with a conflict. The utility of conducting a conflict assessment is that it gives you a tool to help you understand what kind of situation you are placing yourself into. In the next episode, we will explore mediation. Thank you for listening. If you're interested in hearing what happens next, go ahead and subscribe.